This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. This week online, we've been asking about moments when you got tripped up by the fine print. You know, this stuff.
The presence of a disclaimer in a legally binding agreement does not necessarily
your
guarantee
mileage
that
may vary.
The availability of described coverages and other products and services may be limited by
not available in Arizona, Texas, and parts of Nebraska.
Presented in this document are solely those of the offering.
Void where prohibited.
Does an experience like this one sound familiar? Here's Emily Green from Los Angeles.
I signed up for Match.com, and then I stopped using it, and I hadn't been using it for months. And then I didn't realize it was still charging me, and one day I went to my bank account when I saw I was being charged a monthly fee by Match. But the fine print apparently said that even when you cancel it, it still is going to charge you for some months after that.
We've got Elise Glink to help us sort through the fine print. She's a financial expert and founder of the money management site ThinkGlink.com. Hi, Elise.
Hi, Lizzie.
Why is it, do you think, that people get tripped up by the fine print so often?
Well, I think there's so much of it. You know, the fine print kind of rules our lives. And we've just seen this come up again where Facebook, once again mortified, once again apologizing for running a social experiment with our personal information. And yet, if you read the fine print, it tells you that they basically have the right to do everything, perhaps even sell your oldest child. I'm not quite sure.
So if you're a consumer, how do you guard against this? What should you look for?
You know, I think it's really impossible to expect everybody to read the fine print. I mean, after all, these lawyers, again, are paid a lot of money to put a lot of jargon in, so it's really confusing, and basically you need the Supreme Court to rule on it. So you're probably not going to be able to read all of the fine print, but there are some documents where I really want you to try, because not reading the fine print can cost you more than your privacy, which is a very, very expensive price, but it can also cost you every dollar you have in the bank and then some. So, for example, on insurance policies, most people, if you get a homeowner's insurance policy and you go to sell your house and you buy a new house, you think, well, I still have my homeowner's insurance on the old house, even though I've moved to the new house. Nah. What the fine print says is actually that you have to convert your old policy to a vacant homeowner policy, so that it covers the house as a vacant property rather than something that you live in. And this difference between vacant, owner-occupied, rental, or investor, those are really important distinctions in all kinds of different policies.
Where are places where you have seen people really get in trouble?
Well, I think mortgages are another place. You've got mortgages that, and we're seeing a lot of this with the HARP refinances, the Home Affordable Refinance program. And so people were assuming that just because their mortgage interest rate was really high, like 8.5%, when the going rate is now, believe it or not, under 4% again for a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, that they'd just be able to automatically refinance. Well, you could refinance under that program if you were underwater and if you had a Fannie or Freddie loan that didn't have like XYZ insurance program attached to it that you never maybe even knew you had, that would have been outlined in the fine print in your mortgage because nobody ever told you.
Let's say you get hit with something, right? A fee in the fine print. What can you do?
Well, the interesting thing about the way this world works is complaining does help, although you want to complain in a really nice way so that whoever picks up the phone doesn't just hang up on you. But that's a call center issue. I think what's really important to remember is that it costs companies a lot of money to acquire you as a customer, and this is their weak spot, right? They don't really want you to go away, and so if it's within the power of the person you're talking to, they're going to try and fix your problem. So what you want to do is couch the problem in something that's easily solvable. And if you find something that you're getting stuck for a fee, you don't want to pay that fee, always ask the person what they can do to help you. So for example, with credit cards, let's say you're paying an annual fee and you didn't realize there was an annual fee. Let's say the first year was free and now this $100 fee pops up. Well, you can call the credit card company. You know you don't want to cancel the card and they don't really want to lose you as a customer. So you can ask them to forgive the fee for the first year or to write it down, and they may do that. Or if they won't, you can say something like, well, is there a way for me to transfer this card to a no-fee card that would still give me the same benefits or some of the same benefits? I'd be able to keep my account open with you and be able to use it, but not have that fee. Asking the question that way gives them an opportunity to actually help you rather than hang up on you.
Have you ever seen the fine print help out a consumer?
Well, Not so much, but I do think that it's important to understand how to protect yourself. And for me personally, I read the fine print on a loan one day, and I was very proud of myself in one of our refis, and I saw that the lender had actually put the wrong interest rate down on the loan. It was off by a quarter of a point.
So you saved yourself some money.
I did. I saved myself some money, and they gave us another $250 off the closing costs just for the trouble that we all then went through. It took 3 hours for them to redo the documents at the closing, but we weren't going to sign until it was done. And that's the best thing that you can do, right? Because if you refuse to go along with something once you catch the fine, let's say you catch a mistake in the fine print, not just saying, well, I'll sign now and fix it later, but get it fixed before you sign, because that's when you have all the leverage.
Elise Glink is a personal finance expert. Her website is thinkglink.com. Thanks, Elise.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
This week, we want to know what you would tell your 18-year-old self about money. Let us know on our website, marketplaceweekend.org.